Were they great?
Yes.
I tell you. Thank you. That was special. That was very special. Wow. What a Sabbath. Don't tell me that Valley View doesn't love kids. Scripture reading, offering, special music. All right. All we need is a kid to volunteer to preach. Well, watch out, I might take you up on it. It's good to be here. It's good to be here. I just, again, want to welcome all our visitors. And I want to basically say that I think Christmas is around the corner. For some reason, my mind wasn't there, and I need to apologize. You're not going to get a Christmas sermon today. But we will move forward. We're going to talk about 2020 vision. That's the name of my sermon title, and of course the scripture was Acts 2020, so it kind of fits together. And you're going to see a few things fit together. You know, this is one of the most exciting churches I've ever pastored. I want to tell you that. That's true. There was a committee that got formed a couple years ago that got together and discussed several names and became excited and asked me to come and pastor here. And I've been pastoring here now for 2 years. Some of you know that. And those who have been listening to me for 2 years are excited. Yeah. And then there's going to be those that when I quit are going to be excited. So this is the most exciting church I've ever pastored. Yeah. It's a great church. Seriously, I love you all. But I got to remind you that before you asked me to come here and pastor, I said you're going to hear and be promoted and educated and pushed into small groups. Because that's who I am. The last church I ever pastored, we had 18 small groups, if you remember. About 180 people in small groups, meeting out through the week. The church was only 200 members. We had more people in small groups than we had coming to church. It's exciting. And for some reason, the university and NADI, North American Division Evangelism Institute, thought that our pastor needed to learn how to do that, so they asked me to go teach. So for 18 years, I taught about small groups to our young pastors at the seminary. And then you come here, and I come here, and then you want me to pastor you, and you think I'm not going to talk about small groups. That's all I know. That's all I know. But we have just finished what I felt was a great series on the book of Philippians. And I don't know about you, but I sure learned a lot. And if I were to ask you, what do you think the key focus of Philippians is, what would you say?
Joy,
okay. Anybody else? I think it is. You know, Paul says, rejoice in what? Everything. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice always in everything. And that just screamed out at me all through the book of Philippians. No matter what happens to us in our lives, no matter where we are, where we're going, where we've been, Paul was always rejoicing. Always rejoicing. And it just amazes me to sit in a prison, chained up to a guard, and rejoice in the Lord always. You know, we have it pretty free here. But that was Philippians. And we're through with Philippians now. And so as we take this break, I wanted to talk to you about 2020 vision. The scripture says that the pastor is not to preach all the time, but he's to teach also. Matter of fact, Spirit of Prophecy tells us that too. And in volume 6 of the testimony, it says, the best help that ministers can give the members of our churches is what? Not sermonizing, but planning work for them. Are you ready for that? So guess what? I'm not going to give you a sermon today. I'm going to plan some work for you. How's that sound? Now, Dale, don't go to sleep on me. Okay. So here we go. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Apostle Paul says, every day in Acts chapter 2, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. That's an amazing text. The people met in their homes. That means that several families met together in a home. So in that early church, they were meeting in homes, praising God, eating together, week after week after week. And what happened? The Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, and many daily gave their lives and were saved. How would you like that to happen? You know, I just yearn. I don't know about you, but I want the Holy Spirit to come in a powerful way like He did at Pentecost. I look forward to the second Pentecost that we're promised, but I have to be honest with you. I don't think it's going to happen until we open up our homes and open up our hearts. That simple. And invite our friends, our neighbors, and fellow members in the church, come into our homes to fellowship together, to study together, to eat together. This morning, the scripture reading was given by Sienna. Thank you, Sienna. It was very good. Let's look at it again. Acts 20:20. You know I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. So Paul visited the home groups, the different home groups throughout that early church history, and taught them in the homes even. Early Adventists had house groups. Sometimes they just meet in the kitchen. I can imagine. I can just see them in my mind sitting around the kitchen table and sharing the Word of God together and applying it to their lives. And what do we do next? Where are we going? They met in living rooms. Sometimes we read that they met in a barn. But they met in their own personal homes. A couple weeks ago, I presented some thoughts on moving towards discipleship groups because we've experienced some different groups. I want to review that again for some of you in case you weren't here. Number one, I believe with all my heart that the Spirit of God and Jesus is coming soon in a mighty way. Last year, as I mentioned, this little church, Valley View, had 10 to 12 baptisms. And the sad thing, and I hate to tell the visitor this, the sad thing is we didn't do anything. They just came. Families would move in. Others would start studying the Bible and just come to join the church. Some people I thought were members and found out they weren't even members. They were just starting to join the church. We had 10 to 12 baptisms. The question is, what would happen if we did something other than just occupy the pews and talk about the scriptures of one another? What if we reached out and touched somebody else in 2020. What if we all dedicate our lives to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to just reach one person for Jesus? What would happen? Just one person for Jesus. What would happen? What would happen if we jumped out of our Laodicean state that we're in? And I know that's not nice to say, but Revelation says it. What if we jumped out of this state we're in, this time of coming and just being pew warmers, and what if we got really active and invite our neighbors and friends into our homes and had fellowship with them? What would happen if we each one start dedicating our lives fully and deeper than we ever have before and ask the Holy Spirit to come in and dwell in us and move us? What would happen? What would happen if we really opened up our homes for the Holy Spirit for visitors and friends and members and fellowship together, what would happen? We have experienced two types of groups so far at Valley View. We experienced triads. There are several triads that are still meeting, and they're doing great. I'm excited about some of the triads, to be honest with you. I'm so thankful that they've held together. Some of you are not in a triad anymore, but you were because of different circumstances, and I understand those things happen, but we can rejuvenate that and get it going again. Then we tried grow groups. We strive to grow groups where we invite the community to come to different kinds of classes, and those have been real good. We've had many 16 sometimes per quarter grow groups. They only last 10 weeks. So we had a good taste of these two ministries, which are all part of the third ministry, which we call discipleship groups. They're all part of the same thing. And I shared with you also last week a map that's in my office. A map in Medford where we have divided up Medford area into five districts. And if you want to know, our church is way down in here somewhere. I can't quite read the map, but it's way down in here somewhere. And we have on this map pinned all the members who are attending Valley View, all our active members. We have pinned on this map all the homebound members, those that can't come to church because of age or a certain sickness. They came to church. So we have those all pinned out. And we have pinned on there, or at least we're starting to pin on there, all the inactive members, those who haven't been to church for at least 2 years. And the difficult part, the hard part to say is that there are more non-attending members of Valley View than there are attending members of Valley View. What are we going to do about it? Just ignore it? Or can we open our homes and invite them in? This was an eye-opener to me as we looked at this. We take those five districts and we assign an elder to each district, and they will be overseeing those districts, visiting different people, visiting groups. What would happen? What would happen if we put a discipleship group in each district? That'd be five groups. An average group of a discipleship group has about 10 members in it. That'd be 50 people. That'd be 50 people meeting during the week. Meeting during the week, studying the Bible together, fellowshipping together. And I just want to tell Eldon and the prayer meeting group and the ladies' prayer meeting group, that'd be more than what you have on Wednesday nights. And they'd be studying together. That'd be great. What if we had two small groups in each district? That'd be 10 small groups. That'd be 100 people, approximately, meeting every week. What if we had three? What if we have four groups in each district? That'd be 20 homes open for people to get together and study. I shared with you also that Sean Brewster, Voice of Prophecy speaker, has come up with a seminar that I think is incredible. Final Empire is the title of it. It's a 30-minute presentation for 4 nights. And as I studied this and looked at different situations, I said to myself, what a tremendous opportunity to start discipleship groups. So I called up the Voice Prophecy, and they want you to show these four videos in your church. And I told them, I says, I don't want to. I said, I want to open up homes in the community and have these shown in homes in the community. And you know what Sean Brewster said? Praise God, go for it. We'll help you every way we can. And so he's excited about it. The whole Voice of Prophecy staff is excited about it. And I want to take just a few moments, if you don't mind. Let's watch that video clip one more time on Final Empire.
The The United States is the greatest nation that has ever existed in the history of the world. But the rise of the Republic was no accident. It was formed out of hundreds of specific events that started over 3,000 years before the creation of our Constitution. With such calculated history, could the birth of this nation be just coincidence? Or did the hand of God direct the formation of the new world? Explore the annals of history and discover the tapestry of events woven together to construct a brand new empire. Uncover the true reason Columbus set sail into uncharted waters. How the fall of Constantinople set the stage for the creation of our nation hundreds of years before its inception. See the Bible's warnings for our nation today. As we follow the events that shaped America, you'll see the evidence that we are a country founded on the principles of religious liberty, and hear what we need to do to maintain our freedoms today. Final Empire.
That's professional. That's professional. Can you imagine watching that four times, four different settings on Final Empire in your homes with other members and neighbors and friends? Tremendous opportunity, tremendous. It starts January 23. That's not that far away. January 23. It starts Thursday evening, or if your small group wants to do it Thursday morning or Thursday at noon, that's okay. You can do it anytime, but it needs to start on the 23rd. Of January, on Thursday. And then it's scheduled, and we'll work with that with different groups, but it's scheduled to show on Friday evening, Sabbath morning in our church, and then Saturday night. And again, we'll work through those details in our training this afternoon. A big event, and even this event held in our church could cost us thousands of dollars. And I know it makes Holly squirm. But even some of the materials for this event would cost $3,000 to $5,000. And yet, if we have it in our homes, it's not going to cost us even, I don't even think it would cost us $1,000. So the church board has voted to go ahead on this, and so we're going to go ahead. Advertising is big, but we are depending upon you and small groups in moving this forward. I think it's really something special. I think it's really something special. And it's time that we as a church start discipleship groups. I've been waiting for 2 years. When is the right time to jump into this? And I've had a hard time watching the church trying to figure out when is the right time to move. And I think the time has come. Look at this instruction that's been given to us. The formation of small companies as a basis of Christian effort has been presented to me by one who cannot err. What'd she say? She says, God showed her that small companies, small groups, for the purpose of Christian effort, are to be done. If there was a large number in the church, I think it's pretty large. Sure, bigger than a lot of small groups. There's a large number in the church. Let the members be formed into small companies to work not only for church members, but for unbelievers. Church, I'm challenging you. Let's go to work. Let's go to work Jesus' method. He had 12. I'm challenging you to open your homes, 10 to 12 people, and let's start doing the work that God has given us. Let's move to the next step, discipleship groups. We've done triads, we've done grow groups, and we're not leaving those in the dust. They'll still be part of our ministry, but let's move into our third stage of discipleship groups. I have a vision. That's scary. I have a vision, and my question is, will you, as a body of Jesus Christ, be part of that vision? That's my question. Can this church move into a vision for 2020? Can we? You know what Proverbs 29:18 says? Are you ready? Where there is no vision, the people perish. So I have a vision. I have a vision. You ready? This is my vision, and I'm hoping you'll adopt it. To reach the unchurched in Medford for the Lord Jesus Christ. To heal the hurts and to build the dreams to bring salvation to everyone. Is that all right? Can we do that? Can we make that our focus? To start reaching out to the unchurched? Reaching out to those people who don't know Jesus. Start making friends with them. Heal them. There's a lot of hurting people out there. A lot of hurting people. Help them build their dreams. And help them see what Jesus has done for us. That's my plea. That's my vision. What do you say? Amen? Amen. All right. Let me be a little more specific, though. Let me be a little more specific on my vision. And I've got to be honest, when I pull this together in my mind, when I first started doing it, I started putting things in that we could accomplish. And I thought, that's not God. That's me. So then I said, what can we do that is only done through the Spirit of God? So here's what I came up with. You ready? Vision for 2020, a clear-cut vision. An average of 200 people attending this church every Sabbath by the end of 2020. That's a vision. Now, we average about 125. You see what I'm saying? That is a God-sized vision. I can't do it. You can't do it. We've got to rely on God and the Holy Spirit. That's the only way we can do it. But we could increase this church through the power of the Holy Spirit and working with Him and bring our attendance up a big time. Not our own efforts, but by the effort of the Holy Spirit. So that means we've got to do a lot of praying. That God will guide us and lead us. Here's my second part of the vision. You ready? I think that one is big. Hang on. Here's the second part. To have 20 groups by 2020, by the end of 2020. You hear that? 20 groups. Now, I gave a survey last Sabbath. I think it was last Sabbath. And a lot of you handed in. And we have about 10 people that's willing to open their homes, approximately. But we only have about 5 people that's willing to lead. If we could get 10 people on the map by January 23, homes open, we'd be halfway there. And then keep growing and moving. Were you willing to open your home? Are you willing to lead out in this great adventure of moving out and having home groups? 20 by the end of 2020. I tell you, only through the power of the Holy Spirit is this going to be happening. Only through your willingness to open your homes, to lead out. And believe me, you open your home, you don't have to lead out. You can have somebody else lead out. Third one. Here we go. Third one. Here's a diagram showing the districts of the 4 districts in Medford area and District 5, which is Ashland, Tylent, Phoenix, with 4 groups in every area. Just a quick little illustration to show you where the groups could be. But the third one is 20 new members by 2020. Now, if we can do 12 new members without doing anything, maybe if we ask the Holy Spirit to move upon our hearts and to use us in a special way, we could probably do better than 12. So that's our goal. That's my vision. That's, I'm hoping, will be the church's vision. 20 average church attendance in 2020. 20 discipleship groups. And TLC, by the way, you see the TLC? That's tender, loving care groups. Groups that care for other people. And 20 new members by 20. Some things after much prayer that I want to ask this church and visitors, you're welcome to be part of it. I want to ask this church to pray about to help me make happen in this church. I need your help. Not only through strong prayer and diligent daily prayer, but I need your help. The first thing is I'm asking you, every member of this church, to pray and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we can't do anything. It's God and God alone using us and moving through us. Number two, that all our people will become spiritual tithers, so the blessings of God will flow in our lives and in our fellowship. We cannot serve God and be blessed if we hold back and cheat on God and rob him of tithes and offerings. And I like what Robin said this morning. We wouldn't have a work. There'd be no church organization without tithes and offerings. That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm saying. We need your help. We need to all pull in together. Number three, that we will all learn to pray through and touch God in daily appointments with him. Can we do that? Every day spend time with God and touch him. Commune with him. Read about him. Pray with him. Number four, that every member in this church will make a covenant with God to become a participant in one of our discipleship groups. Wow, that's asking a lot, isn't it? Pray about it. Pray about it. If every member in this church and some of you visitors become part of a small group, I can't hardly imagine what God will do. I really can't. And number five, and every discipleship group will win one new family to God and into the membership of our church by 2020. I have a vision. I have a vision. And I pray it will be the church's vision. Final empire. Religious liberty's last stand. In your bulletin, you have this little handout. Pull it out right now. Take a look at it. Final empire. This is a tremendous opportunity to kick off discipleship groups. I can't think of a better way to do it than this way. And look on the back. Look on the back just for a moment. Under, is America on the verge of collapse? It says, United States is the wealthiest, most powerful nation that has ever existed. Its rise was not accidental. It was formed out of hundreds of specific events that started 3,000 years ago, before the adoption of the U.S. Constitution. 3,000, yeah. But today, is the strength of the nation eroding? Did the Bible see it coming? Will America be history's final empire? You know, you have to. If you watch the news at all, you know that our nation is really in quite a squabble over political personalities. And I'm not going to get into that. But you know, if the people are watching the news, and a lot of people are, and wrapped up in what's happening in our nation, I think they might be interested in this too. What's going to happen to our nation? What's going to happen to our nation? Look at the next one, which is our first session, the first DVD, Republic Rising. It says, history tells us that when Christopher Columbus set sail, he already knew the world was not flat. So what he was really doing on his quest. We'll look at the evidence that points to Columbus' true goals, his deep conviction, and a journey that we believe was driven by the hand of God. We'll have this, and we can show this in every home starting January 23. Not only that, but there's three others, 30-minute segments, and you see them listed there on the brochure or on the board here. And the second one is Christianity Corrupted, 30 minutes. Number three, the earth opens up. And number four, America's last stand. And with this series, Pastor Broomsta of the VOP wrote a book, which is titled, of course, Final Empire. And that book, we have already ordered. That book will be given as a gift to everybody that attends one of our home groups. Think about it. You want a copy? Open up your home, or attend at least. In the following four sessions, we follow up studies with each session in the small group as it continues weekly. So after we watch these four sessions, the discipleship group will continue once a week with follow-up sessions and study guides. I really believe in my heart that it's time that the echo of Paul's words, Apostle Paul, that we need to follow them. Acts 20:24. Here's what he says. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. Do you feel that way? I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task of the Lord Jesus Christ has given me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Wow. Are we so wrapped up in life today, working and eating and sleeping and playing games and working around getting little jobs done that we forget where our real focus is? Why am I really on this earth today if it's not to share Jesus with others? Our life is worth nothing if we're not sharing Jesus. Every small group will receive, I want to tell you, if you want to open your home, I got something special for you. This is so neat. Every small group that opens up their home for a discipleship group will get this sign to put in their yard for Final Empire. And you'll stick it out there a few weeks ahead of time. Now get this, this is so exciting. Get this, down at the bottom you see finalempire.com. So people will see this sign, will take a look at that, and they'll put it in their computer and they'll look up finalempire.com. And you know what they'll have? They'll have a question. They'll say, what's your zip code? And they'll put the zip code in. Are you ready? And as soon as they put the zip code in, boop, up opens Medford, and every discipleship group that's held in the homes will be on a map, so they can choose the one that's closer to their home. Your home will be on a map if you open up your home, Final Empire. Your home will be on a map. Whether it's in Medford or Ashland or surrounding areas, it will be shown on a map. Every small group will receive a special invitation card. They haven't sent them to me yet. They're being printed right now. Will receive special invitation cards that you'll be able to give to your neighbors and friends. Every small group will have that. And I want to add to that, what a tremendous opportunity to reach out and invite the non-attending members. You know, many people would come to your home that won't come to church. They're a little bit scared of coming to church, but they'll come to your home. They'll come to your home. And we'll have a chance to share this invitation with them. Every small group will receive cards that are prayer cards, where you put down names of people and you'll be praying for them constantly. This has got to be one of the greatest opportunities that I have ever been involved in starting discipleship groups. I have started many discipleship groups at the seminary, in my churches before this, and I've never had anything as powerful and exciting as this opportunity to open up my home and our homes for people to come and study the Bible together. I'd like to share with you another video, a video of a mother who found her need in a small group. Thank you.
2 years ago in January, my husband Scott was called by the Lord to work with inner city kids in Denver, Colorado through a ministry called Urban Youth. We were excited about the opportunity. However, it meant big changes for our family as we had lived in McKinney, Texas for 18 years, our entire married life. We were excited when we initially landed in Denver. The boys were super excited about all the outdoor sports, being in the mountains, being in God's creation, and especially the cooler temperatures in Colorado. The boys were involved in sports, and Dad was at work. However, Mom was homeschooling 4 boys, and I did struggle a bit. Loneliness set in, and I felt like I had traded everything that I knew that was familiar for the unknown. I was hurt and disappointed that I had to leave relationships and a church family of 18 years. I had actually prayed for friendships and relationships, and I met a gal named Karen through the homeschool group, and Karen invited me to her women's small group. I was overjoyed, ecstatic, and excited to finally have a friend, and so I joined that women's small group. Scott and I had been members of a small group before. However, this one came at a very critical point in my life when I was yearning for relationships and friendships. Those women invested in me weekly. They loved me unconditionally. They encouraged me. They assured me that I wasn't weird or crazy, that it was okay to cry and everything would be okay. We're not meant to do life alone. We're meant to do it as a community, and I think joining the small group was one of the best decisions I made in our move to Denver. I encourage you to join a small group. You will not regret it.
We were not meant to do life alone. And that includes you men, not just women. We are not meant to do life alone, but as a team to work together. Let's begin ministry like Jesus in small groups of 12, 10. Ministry of healings. Christ Smith alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. And then he bade them, follow me. I'd like to ask the deacons to hand out our connect cards at this time. We have a few questions we'd like to have you take a look at on the connect cards. I have the questions on the board already, so you can look at them ahead of time as you fill out the cards. They're purple, pretty strong questions, and I'm asking for a lot of commitment this time. As visitors, we'd like to have you fill out your Connect cards. We'd like to thank you for coming and visiting with us, and I really want to thank third and fourth graders from RVAA. It's exciting to have you here today and the families with them. And if you'd like to, if you have, fill out the card, we'll send you a thank you letter for coming and visiting with us. Also, I ask you to, if any prayer requests you have, put on the card. And on the back of the card, you'll notice also these 4 questions. We'll just wait just one more minute. I meant to give these cards out before the video, but I goofed. And if someone's anxious because of the time, after we felt the connect cards were finished, so we'll be done. And again, I want to invite you to stay with us and have dinner with us. And then this afternoon at 2 o'clock, we have our first training for those who are interested in what's going on with discipleship groups. So number one question is, I'm willing, by the grace of God, to lead a TLC group or discipleship group. Are you willing to lead? We need leaders. Are you willing? Is the Spirit of God moving on your heart? Are you allowing the Spirit of God to move on your heart? We need leaders. Number two, through the moving of the Holy Spirit, I wish to open my home or office for a discipleship group. Yeah. Some small groups meet in offices. Some small groups even meet in the restaurants. I've had some small groups meet together once a week having breakfast in a restaurant. I'm not sure how you could show these videos for the first four times in a restaurant. But are you willing? Are you willing to open up your home? Are you willing to lead out? Number three, I will pray daily that our 2020 vision we met by the end of 2020. At least you can do that. Pray for us. Pray for us at Valley View, even the visitors. Pray for us. We need your prayers that we can do God's bidding in a special way as never before. And number four, I plan on becoming a member of a TLC group, Tender Loving Care group, discipleship group. Do you plan on becoming part of one? Check it off so I know who's coming. And also, I just want to say to the visitors that you're more than welcome to be part of our small groups. And we would love to have you. So if you want to become involved in our small groups, it doesn't mean you have to transfer your membership. You can stay where you are. But we'd love to have you be part of it if you'd like to be here. One more thing I'd like you to do on the card before we hand them in. One more thing I'd like you to do on the card. Down at the bottom of the card, write the word coming if you're coming to the training this afternoon at 2 o'clock. If you're coming here, write down the word coming because that way I know how much materials we're going to need to share in the training seminar. 2 hours long, 2 to 4 on the small group training. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Father God, I not only want this to be the church's vision, but I want to be your vision that you put on us. And so I just pray in a special way that you lead and guide each and every one of us to become tremendously active in reaching out to other lives. Bless us this to the end, and may your Spirit move upon us continuously, because, Father, we want Jesus to come. You've given us a work to do. May we go forward and do it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.